Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And we got a humdinger of a show for you today. A humdinger. We haven't said humdinger. I don't know if that's a ecclesial term or not. Maybe. What is the Latin for humdinger? Ziggy?
Oh, hummus dingus?
Yes, I'm not sure. I've had some hummus before, but I don't know if that's the same thing. And of course, we have Venerable Tom Dorian
Hello.
Here. And we are so glad to have the two of you here joining me on this humdinger of an occasion. We are going to talk about... Our last show, we talked about the Ascension.
Did you introduce Sam? I don't remember
I did.
That.
I said Ziggy. That's his name.
Woo, woo! That's me!
There you go. That's the part I was missing.
Okay, that's all right. No worries. You know, he's someone who he doesn't need an introduction. He just is there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to burst into this podcast like the Kool-Aid guy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Ziggy. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so we digress. We talked about the Ascension on our last show, and I promised... the promising of the Holy Spirit. I promised that we would talk about Pentecost on this show, just because there's a natural connection. Obviously, we come to the end of the Easter season, and we celebrate Pentecost. Obviously, Pente, that prefix meaning 50, and so we are five, and we see this connection with the 50 days of Easter, which culminates in Pentecost. And but also, you know, Pentecost is typically a day in which the church would look at that day as the birthday of the church, in a sense, because the Holy Spirit comes to enliven and empower and guide the church into all truth. It's a promise of Jesus, and so happy birthday, I guess, is something else we can say at Pentecost.
Well, and also for the listeners who don't have the familiarity with church history and with the roots of Pentecost— Pentecost also is a Jewish tradition as well.
Yeah, yes.
It's the 50 days after Passover.
And it's in the Bible.
And it's in the Bible. Yeah. And the 50-day, and on the 50th day is when Moses, if I'm not mistaken, presents the law to the Jewish people. And so there's kind of a similarity insofar as we've moved from the law being presented by prophet and patriarch Moses, to the law being written on our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and fulfillment of the prophecy that you get in Ezekiel. And so...
I love all the connections, right? It's not that they just said, hey, what should we do next? I know, let's do a Pentecost.
Right.
Let's have a celebration, and we'll just call it Pentecost, and it'll be the Holy Spirit. It's not random.
Right.
And that's what I love about the more you read the Old Testament, the more you realize how it prefigures the New and essentially... comes alive in the New, and we see the New as a revelation of all of the promises and all of the prophecies, and really you see the fullness of the salvation story come to be.
Right.
And that's why it's so beautiful. So one of the reasons also we love our Jewish ancestry, you know, the fact that that this is an outcropping or coming of into fullness of revelation of our Jewish ancestry and how beautiful that is. So all of those things are great, and so we celebrate Pentecost. And the way I wanted to kind of talk about this show and kind of frame this show is it's kind of interesting that I don't know where this came to me, whether I heard it from really some really cool Catholic teacher, scholar, somebody. I might have stolen this, but I think it was my idea. No, I'm kidding. But I do.
The Holy Spirit's
that's
idea.
Right. The Holy Spirit came to me and gave me this little image in my mind. Again, I didn't invent this, but I love to look at the Easter season and see it really not just as a celebration of these happenings in the church. They are. This season is a celebration that we remember every year on our liturgical calendar, and so we visit each of these individual things, and the Easter season of 50 days is something we celebrate every year. But it's not just about celebrating Easter and seeing Easter as ecclesial feasts, right, in the context of the church's life. It's really a microcosm for our own life, and there's a connection to all of the events of Easter to our life, especially our sacramental life. And the connections I want to make are seeing like at the beginning of the, you know, the, at the Paschal Triduum, and it really starts with the suffering of Jesus, right? And we see like in our own life, a life of sin. Now, Jesus didn't sin. And so the suffering of Jesus is really his atonement or purchasing our sin, taking our sin onto himself. But we can see at the beginning of the Easter season, on this Good Friday, we see our sinfulness and our need for redemption, right? So right off the bat, our life begins in sin, right? Original sin. And so then our baptism then is connected in a profound way to the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? In our baptism, the scriptures tell us that we die with Christ. And the waters, the refreshing waters of baptism renew us and we resurrect, right? Our soul resurrects with Christ. Suddenly there's meaning and purpose and we're chosen and we're special and, you know, we're alive in Christ through that resurrection. And so there's a connection that we see there. And then there are things like, First Holy Communion, right? And that part of our sacramental life, in that we see, like, give us this day our daily bread. We see the daily bread of Eucharist that essentially sustains us through our life, right? It empowers us, gives us strength, and allows us to move through this life in a profound way. We see the ascension, the experience of the ascension, again, that's Jesus, you know, rising of his own accord, being taken up into heaven to sit in his rightful place on the throne. We see that ascension, but essentially it's also connected to us. What does it do? If you remember the collect on the Feast of the Ascension, essentially it's saying something, I'll paraphrase, but where the head goes in glory, our body must follow in hope, or the body must follow in hope. So it's like the head, Jesus, goes in glory, and the body, us, the body of Christ, the church, follows in hope. Like, so the ascension is hope for each one of us that we will be bodily in heaven, mm-hmm. right? And then the Easter season culminates on Pentecost. And that is a connection, a direct connection to our confirmation, the coming of the Holy Spirit into our individual lives. And so this is, to me, is very profound when you stop and think about yourself in the context of the Easter season. So the Easter season is not something that we don't just celebrate it in terms of like, well, we remember these things, these great things Jesus did for us. And that is awesome. It is. We do remember that, right? And we also get to exchange Easter baskets. So it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Everything's wonderful, right? But a lot of times we can look at these as feast days that we celebrate something Jesus did. Again, and I'm not saying we don't do that, but we should also see ourselves in this picture. It's almost like a Lectio Divina. I don't know what it'd be like Lectio, but it'd be a Lifeo Divina,
right.
Where we see ourselves in the divine life of Jesus Christ. We see ourselves, and it helps us then to better appreciate what Jesus did for us, but then also what we're called to be and what we're called to do. And this whole idea of us having our own personal Pentecost, and I do not mean to downplay the importance of the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus made, and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus ascends into heaven, he knew he would do that. The apostles didn't know that, right? They kind of were like staring at the day of the ascension, looking up, you know, and the angels say, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking at the sky?" Right? This Jesus will come back the same way. And essentially, y'all need to get busy, right? And so we can see it that way, but they didn't really know to expect that. And yet, what did they do? They listened to the angels. They remembered all of that Jesus taught them, and they went out and started doing all the stuff where we read in Acts, you know, and 3,000 people were baptized that day, right? They got busy and got to work building the church, you know, playing their part. So our Pentecost, the coming of Pentecost, then for the church, certainly empowered the church and guide continues to this day. The Holy Spirit continues to guide the church. But also the Holy Spirit, when he comes to us in confirmation, guides us, mm-hmm. enlivens us, right? And also consoles us, inspires us, leads us into all truth, And so this attachment that we should have to the Holy Spirit is profound. And this is why, like, the Easter season culminates in Pentecost. And it's not supposed to be the end. Well, it's all done. The church is born. We're good. Everything's good. You're confirmed. It's like, no, this is now the beginning. This is life for you. And so you need to pray, come Holy Spirit, right? We need to be engaged with the Holy Spirit in this power.
And when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and we say, come Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, come Holy Spirit, what we're actually doing, we're focusing on the person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, but we're actually entering, the effect will eventually be that we're actually entering into Trinitarian prayer, right? Because ultimately, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who makes the Eucharist possible. That's the heavenly dew that comes down and actually transforms the body and blood, soul, and the bread and wine into the body and blood, soul, and divinity of the church, with the priest there in persona Christi offering it up for the glory of the Father. In the same way, the Holy Spirit descends upon us and has the work of transforming us interiorly into another Christ. You know, grace builds on nature. Each one of us is different in terms of being a face of Christ within the body of Christ. But as we're inviting the Holy Spirit into us, He is the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to form Christ in us, that we might be an alter Christus, another Christ. The good news might be enfleshed within us for the glory of the Father. Right, but it begins. We have to have that ability to reach out to Holy Spirit and call upon Him, and you know it is going to result also in not just experiencing the joys of life by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, but also our sufferings. Where Christ within us, where you know we live out the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ on a daily basis. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so, I think that if we don't invite the Holy Spirit into that, because some people they'll just look at like sort of this personal Pentecost moment as being like an emotions and a feelings type thing.
So, right, our separated brothers and sisters might see that moment as the time they gave themselves over to Jesus as a sort of a one time, one and done experience.
Right,
and some of us view our confirmation as that way. I was confirmed.
Right.
Right, and you think of it as like an event that happened in your life.
But it's a continual process. Yes. As we grow in Trinitarian prayer, we also grow in Trinitarian love.
Yes, the fact that that's a perfect segue, because when you were speaking of the Trinity, right, and you see the fullness, we see the fullness of God through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right? We believe that the Holy Spirit has always existed because the love of the Father and the love of the Son, that reciprocal love has always existed. And so the Holy Spirit, which essentially spirates, note the word there, from that union of Father and Son in that love, that's Trinitarian love. So we experience the fullness of the Trinity only through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, this is what's so cool about this. That effectively, the concept of Trinitarian love is what essentially makes the world go round.
Right.
Right? Everything happens in the context of the Trinity and Trinitarian love. So that the act of creation, right, the creative spirit of God, right, happens through that Trinitarian love. And so we see, for instance, husband and wife. You know, the husband loves the wife with such intensity, and the wife loves the husband with such intensity that it spirates the gift of life.
Yes.
From the mother's womb, you know, and it's like this beautiful gift of the world in creation. We get to participate in that creative process through the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so there's this wonderful fullness that we experience God in a most profound way that is different than really all other religions on the earth, where we get to see God in His fullness expressed through Trinity. And the Holy Spirit allows us to do that.
Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of the adoption of the children of God, right? And when the Holy Spirit descends upon our Lord in His baptism, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, right? We are supposed to receive that too, right? We're supposed to allow ourselves to receive ourselves as beloved daughters, beloved sons, with whom God is well pleased.
Right.
And so Christ loved us so much. Not only did he lay down his life and die for our sins, but he also has invited us into that space of being the beloved of our Heavenly Father, right? We've been invited into sit in that space of his divine sonship, right? Which is just, and it is by the Holy Spirit that makes that possible and makes that happen. I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, says our Lord Jesus. You know, some of us don't have that experience with knowing the heart of our Heavenly Father. They might have experienced Jesus, or they might have had a Holy Spirit experience, but they hadn't yet had that full Trinitarian experience. The Holy Spirit's the path of getting us there. You know, calling upon the Holy Spirit to form Christ in us so that we can sit in that place of being the beloved Son and love God the Father with the heart of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's what is made possible, and that is what's going to open up the experience of the Father to us. And so again, yes, Pentecost, it's all about the Holy Spirit, but it's a window. There's a reason why we move from the Pentecost to Trinity Sunday.
Yes.
And this is the reason why.
Right. And so it never ceases to amaze me how wise the church is.
Right. Right.
So much wiser because of this revelation of the ages. And again, there's not randomness in the church.
Right.
There all the stuff flows for a reason. And when we partake in that, we're closer to God in that way, and we're closer to each other, the body of Christ, in that way. And so it's like it's a profound experience. And that's why I think we forget to do the come Holy Spirit part. We forget that. And why we need to remember that in our lives, especially on a daily basis. And that's why we repeat every year these anniversaries. We have all these important anniversaries in our life, right? Our birthdays, the day
anniversaries,
and wedding anniversaries, and maybe even anniversaries of a loved one's passing. And we remember these things because we don't want to forget those things, right?
Right.
Well, the church wants us to remember every year. Seeing this Easter season laid out for us, essentially, and how then we are sort of grafted onto the vine or grafted into the Easter season, and that our lives sort of parallel the Easter season. We should see it that way and then receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so to say that prayer, come Holy Spirit, that's something that, you said a little bit about suffering and things like this. It's like, when we say, come Holy Spirit, in every situation in our life, so before we do this radio show, before I preach, before I teach, before I talk to a child who's having a problem, before I counsel someone, all these things, there's like this simple little prayer, come Holy Spirit. And when we remember to do that, it's amazing. You know, they always say, be careful what you ask for. When you ask for the Holy Spirit will be present. Right, and so it's a way in which we can live out the fullness of Trinitarian love in our lives, but also God is not going to invade us,
mm-hmm.
right? God is never going to just like put a hole in our heads and then pour Himself in, right? We have to invite Him mm-hmm. in, right? And the Holy Spirit is the conduit or the way in which we can very simply ask, come Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean we don't pray to God the Father. Doesn't mean we don't pray to Jesus the Son, our brother. What we do, though, is we forget sometimes to ask for the Holy Spirit to be present. And this is an animating spirit. This is not just a passive person that's going to come and sit in the corner, right? Mm-hmm. There is going to be an effect with the Holy Spirit. And when we invite the Holy Spirit into every situation, especially trying ones, mm-hmm. situations we can't handle on our own or don't have any idea how to handle. And it's such a simple prayer, but what's amazing to me is just how powerful that prayer is.
And of course, we could have some people in Radio Land who are listening to this and saying, well, this all sounds great, but I've been going to church all my life. I've gone to many Pentecosts. I've done the Pentecost Novena, and I've asked for the Holy Spirit. I've said, come Holy Spirit, but they might just be like, I just haven't had that experience of experiencing the Holy Spirit yet. I haven't really had a
spirit. Or
don't recognize it. Right, like that's their perspective. So a couple of things I would say. One, is would encourage those people to ask, have you, how long has it been since you've been to confession? Because, you know, if we do have, you know, grave sin on our soul, that can definitely be an impediment to...
Right, we have scales on our souls,
yeah,
like Paul
exactly.
had scales on his eyes.
Exactly. And so that's the first thing. But then secondly, even if you've been to confession recently and you still just kind of feel stuck and you've never experienced anything except dryness and you've never had that personal encounter, one thing to ask, and I would also say getting a spiritual director is very important because that's a
helping time to identify those situations.
Helping to identify those things. But the main thing I would also encourage us to ask ourselves is, have we given ourselves into the culture of distraction in terms of how we've live our lives? We've got a culture right now that, you know, it is encouraging binge watching TV, video games, all this stuff. And, you know, our bodies, we were created for worship. We were created to take in God through our senses in the most holy liturgy. Our intellect was created to receive truth, the truth of the church and the truth of God, right? But if we are overloading our mind and our imagination and memory, and we are overloading our senses with just one distraction after another, which is exactly what our culture is aiming us to do, it's going to sometimes clog us up and clog up our ability to actually sit and have that encounter with God. And so sometimes if we make the decision to start saying, I want to dial that stuff back in my life and start really setting aside silent time and set aside and kind of reduce the level of sort of the world's influences of, in my mind and in my senses, and make myself a little bit more receptive to God, that too can go a long way, because he can only pour himself into us to the extent that we are disposed to receive him.
Yes.
And so I would throw that out as well.
Yeah, that's actually a really powerful thing. And as you were talking about that, and you were talking about Netflix, and we're not... On the Catholic Cafe, we're not saying that Netflix is evil. I'm
right.
not saying that. However, I have realized it's not just Netflix. Several of the streaming providers, they have this nasty little gimmick they use, especially if there's a series of 10 episodes of something. You get all caught up in it, and you're seeing episode one, and it wraps up, and it's like, da-da-da-da, the dramatic music, and the big finale. And then it's like, normally, in the old days, you'd say, well, next week... I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see this, right? And then you go and live your life for a week, and then you come back and watch episode two. No, instead, it automatically starts downloading and playing.
Yep.
Right? And it's so insidious that it you don't have to watch the intro again.
Right?
it just goes right into the next. So suddenly, if you have 10 episodes, which are an hour long, you end up binge-watching a 10-hour movie.
Yeah.
And then you realize that 10 hours into this thing, you're like a vegetable.
Right.
Laying in your bed or on your couch watching something, you realize, man, they had me hook, line, and sinker.
You know?
And it no longer becomes a distraction. It becomes like an addiction. Now,
this
is our call, is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to pick up the remote and press stop and have some sense of control in your life that the Holy Spirit can help you with. To put your iPhone down, those things are... I had never realized, I got an Apple Watch for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And how many times my wrist vibrates?
Yeah.
You
non-stop.
Know, every time. And you have to either shut those things off or learn not to be distracted by the... And not have be tempted to turn that wrist up, right? To look at your... To have to point the watch at your face or pick your phone up when you hear it go... You know, not to do that. But because it's designed to say, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. And this is one of those things where I think there's a lot of folks out there that because, and I say this with personal conviction as well, there's so many times in my life where I forget about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so this episode of the Catholic Cafe is really just a wake-up call for all three of us here sitting around the luxurious corner booth, but also for everyone who's listening, is a wake-up call to say, remember, come Holy Spirit, how important that is. You know, I've been involved in one of the great blessings and things that I've experienced in my, especially in a ministerial capacity in my life as a deacon, is teaching RCIA, soon to be OCIA. And so in teaching this to people who are coming into the full communion with the church, how powerful this is, certainly there's those who are to be baptized, but then those that are already Catholic or already baptized. It's amazing to me how many people who are Catholics who actually show up at RCIA. When I one time invited people, said, hey, if you're a Catholic and you haven't been confirmed, and then it's like, really? There were like a bunch of people that showed up. I'm amazed at how many Catholics, and I'm not blaming anybody. Life happens. Parents kind of drop the ball or get into a bad space and a place where they can't finish those sacraments of initiation. So we have these adults that haven't been confirmed. They have not had their personal Pentecost. They haven't had that gift, that dose of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life in a way that's so profound that allows them, gives them the privilege and the answered promise of saying, come Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to the church, and Jesus never betrays a promise. And so the Holy Spirit came to the church, but the Holy Spirit can come to each one of us if all we do is ask. All we do is, and if you haven't been confirmed, go to your parish today, right? Go to your parish as soon as you can. Talk to your pastor and say, yes, I maybe I'm a little embarrassed, but you know what? I realize I'm an adult Catholic and I've not been confirmed. How do I do that, Father? Father will help you. Or deacon. Deacon will help you to come into fullness of God's revelation, to come into fullness of the church, to experience the Trinitarian love in the fullest, most revelatory way in your life, all because of the gift of the first Pentecost, the reminder of Pentecost every year, and then our own personal Pentecost. And when we do that, this is how we change this difficult world that we live in. This is what is meant to be. So, come Holy Spirit. You know, happy Pentecost, and certainly happy birthday. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.